Thank you. To have Clara singing our beloved Jana's music. How perfect is that? So Jana, wherever you are, we're sending you our love and blessings, not only to you, but to your kids and to the work that you and Rhonda are so dedicated to. Oh, because it's about being present in the world. If you weren't here, then your soul work would be complete. If you're still here, you've still got things to learn and to do and to contribute and to gift the world with. This year, we're doing the Soul Slow Ripening, 12 Celtic practices for seeking the sacred. And although it says Celtic practices, these are universal practices found in the world's spiritual traditions as to how to find that presence every day, no matter what is going on. And I thought it was perfect in light of what was going on in our world this last year and a half to really be present and to notice the sacred with wherever you are and what is going on. This month, the practice is that of solitude and silence. And when I first read that, I thought it was simply about going away and retreating and being in solitude and silence, period. I read the chapter and I loved it because it spoke to how I try and live my life, which is to go into solitude and silence and replenish my well, and then step forward back into life, communing with it at even greater depth and offering what came to me in prayer and meditation, or walking on the beach at North Beach, or going out into nature somewhere, or running into one of you all at the co-op. All sacred and holy moments. And it speaks of being able, as you do this, to see the world and your life in a new way, as a new creation, as a paradise here and now, not off somewhere, but real and embodied in the world here and now. And that balance between inner and outer is one that we're all always working with. Last Sunday, I talked about centering prayer and how 9/11 called us out into the streets and to commune and support one another. And the pandemic took us into our homes where we felt apart, and yet we discovered we can still commune and connect with one another. This week is the autumnal equinox, which is a time of the balance of light and dark. It's a wonderful time to look at your life and how are you balancing things these days? Connection and solitude. Being in the world, but not of the world. Blending those. How are you doing that? It's a wonderful time to really look at how you are seeing life. So many times there are periods where we're running so fast, we don't take the time to pray and to meditate with the consistency and depth that's available to us if we choose it. And I have to admit that as a minister, there are times where my prayer life has not been as active as I realized it needed to be. And inevitably, Spirit will bring some experience to me that reminds me I need to be still and listen to that still small voice and pray and recenter. If you just have a few things in your spiritual toolkit, gratitude is one, looking for blessings, and this, remembering to take the time so that you can consciously co-create your life and not just react to things, but rather choose how you're going to respond in any given moment. Thomas Merton, says that this kind of consciousness that she's speaking of is living the life of the new creation. It's actually a deeper connection with the world that comes from going within. She says, this reverence for the grace that solitude and silence offer is also seeking of communion with the creation and more intimacy with its creatures. It's not moving out of the world, it's really moving into and being aware of the beauty of creation and the miracles of each moment. I've always loved Albert Einstein, who said, for some people, nothing is a miracle, and for others, everything is a miracle. I'm definitely in the everything is a miracle group, without a doubt, because for me, it really is. Just life itself, as we went into prayer and did the breathing. I was a nurse for years. Do you realize what a miracle it is that we breathe and our hearts beat without us having to think about it? Can you imagine if we were responsible to make sure that that happened? It is life filling us. If we're injured, our body instantly seeks to do healing work at a cellular level as well as at a spiritual level. Everything is interconnected. And I don't know about you all, but when I go out into nature, I notice things anew. And instead of running past that beautiful garden on a walk and not really paying attention, if I'm more centered and more connected, I'll stop and I'll look at those flowers and realize the miracle each one is. It's all an expression of life and the divine. And we run through life too fast sometimes to notice those things. We get too attached to outer appearances. And when we can settle in and allow ourselves to be renewed and restored at depth, we can step back into life with much more wisdom, with much more kindness and compassion, and with a lot more patience for ourselves and other people. I'd like to share four different passages for you all of which for me are profoundly important in recognizing this deeper connection with life. Rather than seeing prayer and meditation as stepping away and separate from, seeing it rather as communing at more depth with. So it all becomes a paradise. The first that I'd like to share, and I'll stop for a moment between each. So let these words settle in, and I'll give you a little space of solitude and silence just for a moment, to let those words sink in at depth, because I think they will inspire you and comfort you and help you move through whatever is coming next for all of us. The first comes from H. Emily Cady, one of my absolute favorites. She wrote Lessons in Truth, which was the first book ever published by Unity Publishing. She was very dear friends with the Fillmores. And if you want a good basic book that introduces you to metaphysical principles and truth, Lessons in Truth by H. Emily Cady is the perfect place to begin. Here is what she says. At the heart of humanity, there is a deep and awful homesickness that has never been and can never be satisfied with anything less than a clear, vivid consciousness of the indwelling presence of God. An inworking that then becomes an outworking in and through and as you. from Joel Goldsmith, one of my favorite writers, in one of my favorite books, Practicing the Presence. There is only one missing link in the entire chain of harmonious living, and that is living the practice of the presence of God. Living the practice of the presence of God consciously, daily, hourly. Until we have God, we have nothing. But the very moment we have God, we have all there is in the world. In seeking the allness of God, we shall have all forms necessary to our unfoldment. This is called the golden key. In the midst of whatever is going on, seek first God, the kingdom of heaven, and all else shall be added. From the wonderful Thich Nhat Hanh, Living Buddha, Living Christ. A wonderful book that reminds us truly of the oneness that Clara sang of and that Jana wrote of. That no matter what our spiritual paths, they're an essential truth that's a golden thread found between them all. The beloved Thich Nhat Hanh. The most precious gift we can offer to others is our presence. Our true home is the present moment. The miracle is not to walk on water. The miracle is to walk on the green earth in the present moment. Peace all around us, in the world and in nature and within us, our bodies and our spirits. It is not a matter of faith. It is a matter of practice. I love that it's a matter of practice, not of perfection that the outer world demands of us sometimes, but of practice. A willingness to absolutely be the presence for others in our world and to see it all around us. That is the true miracle. And finally, a scripture from Galatians 6:15. We must learn how to be still and let spirit, the I am, work in us, that we may indeed be made a new creation. We in unity believe in the scripture also that's, be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. But also, I would add, of your heart. But it begins with beginning, being still, and then being made new and fresh so that you can go forth. In the meditation this morning, I took us all to Lindisfarne, the holy island. It's a tidal island there on the northern coast of England, right where it meets Scotland. And I was blessed to go there a few years ago. And it was absolutely wonderful. Luckily, my friends warned me, Diane Vox has been there before, and they said, be sure you go across at the right time. And I've also been to Mont Saint-Michel in France. It's a tidal island too, but they've now built a road that's there that you can go across most of the time. But Lindisfarne, no. It, to this day, is a holy island that can only be reached when the tide has gone down and exposed the road. And they warned us, they said, you've got to be sure you arrive so that your driver, you get on the right train and get the right driver so you can get across to the island and he can get back to shore before the tide comes in again. And then when it's time to leave, you have to consciously work with that tidal schedule. Luckily, being in Port Townsend, we have the ferry schedules and the ferries that change depending on the tides and the winds. But it was quite an experience to really realize and to watch as the water covered the road and realize, I am blessed to be on this holy island, surrounded by water. And I've made the soul choice to journey here. Let me be profoundly present. And even if I wanted to stop praying and leave, I can't do it. The road is covered. And they warned us that the road actually, as the tide begins to come in, starts at the land and the island, and then begins to fill toward the center. Some people try and leave too early, and they get caught in the middle, thinking they can get across, but the tide is filling the road in both directions. And then they have to be rescued in the middle. And I found myself going, you know, that is so sometimes like me. I get in a rush and I've moved into this space of prayer and meditation. And that monkey mind gets going. And I'm praying and meditating and it's, oh, but I need to return that call and I need to do that email. And oh my gosh, I've still got to do that project. And I find myself sometimes trying to leave the island prematurely. And I find myself all at sea. And so this reminded me of the sanctity and the sanctuary and the Sabbath, of having that inner life, that inner spiritual life that nourishes and feeds you all of the time. As I was doing the prayer, I found myself picturing the ancient abbey that is just ruins and those beautiful arched windows that no longer have stained glass but are open to the sky and the sea. And to be in a place of such ancient tradition, you can feel the prayers in the very earth beneath your feet. When you close your eyes, you can hear the chants and the songs moving through the ruins. And you can go into the old church that was built, and I believe it's the 1100s that's the new church that is there. And you can walk in and pray, and pilgrims from all over the world come and join you. Embodied people gathered in this holy place. It was originally started actually by the monks of Iona, heard that there was a spiritual community forming. And so Iona is on the west coast off of Scotland, my favorite place. A number of you have been there with me. And they sent a group, including a man named Saint Aidan, and said, begin a spiritual community there. Lindisfarne, they actually did the beautiful illuminated manuscripts like were done on Iona. The famous ones that are in Ireland were actually done on Iona and some were done on Lindisfarne. There's even a modern group that's continuing the tradition on the island, doing illuminated manuscripts and artwork. The bringing of the light, the bringing of an awareness of the beauty of the world and scripture as they come together in these illuminated manuscripts. And I came across a piece by St. Aidan of Lindisfarne in one of the other books by Christine Paintner. And this one is called The Rise and Fall of the Tides. And I read this. This is in her book that celebrates the elements and how the elements are holy and can be incorporated into our spiritual lives more consciously. So this comes from the chapter on Sister Water. And I read this, and it so beautifully captured what I tried to take you through an experience of in meditation and speak of in this message. The ancient words of Saint Aidan, which I think say it far better than I ever could. Leave me alone with God as much as may be. As the tide draws the waters close upon the shore, make me an island set apart, alone with you, God, holy to you. And then with the turning of the tide, prepare me to carry your presence to the busy world beyond. The world that rushes in on me until the waters come again and fold me back to you. Fold me back to you. Isn't that a beautiful image? We all have the opportunity to seek that beautiful connection and then to carry it with us into the world. There's a wonderful story that's called The Temple with 1,000 Bells. A temple was once built upon a holy island, and 1,000 bells hung all around the island, made by artisans from all over, of all different kinds of materials. And as they would ring, it was a symphony that would stir the heart and open it to the presence of the divine. Over time, the island sank beneath the sea, and the waters covered it. But the tides continued to move the bells like the wind had done when it was above. But it was in the depths of the sea. And some of the local monks talked of how you could go out on the shore and sit on the beach and close your eyes and you could hear the 1,000 bells. And that as you heard the 1,000 bells, it would change you forever. And so a pilgrim came from afar. He wanted with all of his heart to hear the bells and to be open to the presence of God in this way. And so he goes and he sits on the beach and he tries and he tries and he tries and he cannot hear the bells. And he goes back and he talks to the monks and said, "What's the trick? I can't hear the bells." And they said, "Just go, you'll hear the bells." He tried and he tried and he couldn't hear them. And he finally said, "Apparently it's not meant for me. I'll just go back home." And so he went back out early the next morning to say goodbye to the beach. And instead of efforting and trying to hear it, he just settled into the moment and he felt the sand and he felt the wind and he listened to the sound of the sea. And he opened to just be present in the moment with all of its blessings, not trying to accomplish anything. And as he sat there and heard the sound of the sea, he heard the chime of a single bell.